Go Loud. Talking Bollocks, a Go Loud original podcast. Sponsored by Right Style Furniture. Right price, right style, right now. Visit rightstyle.ie.
Go Loud. Sounds better with us.
Are you in the middle of turning your house into a home? Get down to Right Style Furniture, an Irish family-run spot that's actually sound and won't sell you a sofa that looks like it's over skip. The house package deals are unreal. Sofas, beds, dining sets, the full works from just €3,649. Plus, they're in Fontaines, Belgard and now Omni Park as well. They're open 7 days a week and open late on Thursdays and Fridays in Fonthill and Omni. Handy if you're working all day. I got my corner sofa in it and in the fire brigade to get me up off the thing. Visit www.roystyle.ie and when you shop in store, tell them Terence and Calvin sent you and they'll throw a discount on top of that as well. So get down to Roy Style Furniture today.
What you waiting for? Put your back in it. Just a little more. Throw your whip in the ground. Fill your body up tight. Work it hard and long. When you finish that,
the hip knocker.
Go down, go down, go down. Come up, come up.
Growth, sorry. I don't even know how we do the intro because I'm a bit rocked here because you were in the middle of telling the story and I said save it for the podcast, but okay. Ralph Bradley is here with me.
Hello.
Thanks for coming in.
Oh, my pleasure.
You were saying that you got hacked because we were giving out about the rigmarole, about getting into your emails and like signing into Instagram and how it's like, oh, we've sent the message to this number and you're like, I don't even fucking have that number anymore. But you said you got hacked.
Oh, I got hacked. Yeah, this is so embarrassing, right? So like a year ago? I was at the Edinburgh Fringe and I got this email about, do I want to do an interview with Annie Mac? Annie Mac, the DJ, yeah. And I was like, oh yeah, I love Annie Mac, great. So they said it was like this Facebook interview. It was like a Facebook podcast because Facebook were launching podcasts. And I was like,
I already know where this is going.
Fantastic. So they were like, can we do a Zoom and change the settings on your Facebook? I was like, I'd love to. Absolutely. Yeah, look, we'll have a lovely time. So I did a Zoom with the hacker who was actually a bit of a dick, like on the Zoom. And I was like, he was telling me, change this, change this. And I'm useless with settings and all that. So I kept making a mess of it. He was getting really annoyed. And I was getting a bit like, excuse me now. Excuse me. And at one point, like about, I'd say good 20 minutes into like changing all my settings and giving him everything, like all my passwords, whatever. He was just really snotty with me and I was like, oh, fuck this. So I just closed the laptop. I was like, I don't care if it's Annie Mac or not. I'm not dealing with this dick. And then like the next day, I was like, that was probably a really
thing to
do.
Yeah.
So I sent this email and I was just like, sorry, man, my internet connection isn't great here in Edinburgh. And I did a second Zoom with the guy who again was still a dick. And then he hijacked my Facebook page. I mean, I had it coming. It's the most gullible. Like, it's so... You've no idea how embarrassed I was when it happened. I was so embarrassed.
Like, how did... Like, at what point do you put two and two together and be like, he's at the hack of me?
When I can't get into...
So you just...
I couldn't get into Facebook and, like, I logged into, like, the Meta business thing and it was like, you know, Flim Flam 67 now has full control and you have none. And I was like, oh dear. But then you've got to go and like you've got to say like to people, oh, I can't get into my and they were like, oh, you know, what happened
and then explain
like,
to them,
well, I did two Zooms and gave them everything they asked for and never even thought to ask them a question.
And how did you get it back?
They still actually have the Facebook, so they're in and out, like, so like sometimes it's like sometimes I post something and then they delete it. Or, like, it's
come and see me live in Galway, Tipperary and Limerick. Fuck that.
And then I go in the next day and they're all gone and I'm like, oh, come on. And then so I had to disconnect my Instagram, so I've got Instagram, but Facebook, it comes and goes.
So that could be anyone now on that page telling whatever and it's just you there.
But I can still go in, like, I can still put things up and then every so often there'll be an ad for, like, you know, crypto.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah. I do see, do you know when people do share stuff, like, obviously you've clearly been hacked and it's like, it's always crypto and it's always they put this thing up, it's like a picture of a bank balance and they just made $6,000 in 2 days with crypto. And people like jump on and sign up. I'm like, no, that's more fool you. Fair enough, this person's been hacked. But if you believe that.
Yeah.
And it's in dollars as well. Like that, fucking John from around the corner has made $6,000 in two yeah, days exactly. and is telling everyone about it and now wants you to jump on that bandwagon. You just have to revolute them £100.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh, I've been hacked. I'm like, that's more fool you.
Yeah, and everyone's like, well, this is a moron, clearly. Yeah. They've given their password to somebody. Like, that person didn't make $6,000.
So I'm just, that's what I'm trying to think of. When you were like, oh, I got hacked, I was like, it usually comes from people who like sign up to these dodgy competitions and next of all you see that they've been hacked.
I know, but you see, the thing about it is, right, I have this blanket rule that, you know, like, don't click on a link. And but then you kind of think, but what, like, I would like a mansion in Nigeria. Like, maybe if I just, you
this
know,
could
just,
be, this could be the legit
this could be
one.
The making of me. This yeah,
could,
yeah, yeah.
But like, you know, they say 1 in 100 and they're like, this could be the 100. Yeah. But like, I still don't get my head around the fact that he was like, right, I'm setting you up for this podcast that's over Zoom. And you were like, yeah, yeah, yeah. Was it not just something as simple as like, so what's our email address and what's our password? Thanks very much, girl, for being in touch.
No, it was more, it was like I had to add him to like the Meta Business Suite and then I had to like give him access to change settings. And then he was like, oh, just to reduce your access now for a second just for this to work. And I was like, oh, absolutely, no problem. Sure, I'm just making a coffee here to you. You do what you like. Absolute moron. Like, even my parents, I was telling them, they were like, ah, gross. Yeah. Like, come on.
That's like saying, I've no money, why? Or just get me wallet to the wallet inspector on the corner there.
I can never now take the piss out of anyone for that.
Oh, Jesus.
I was absolutely hood. Okay, rein it in there.
No, hang on. You were telling me you were from Finglas before this podcast started.
Yeah, but I'm not savvy. Do you know what I mean? Clearly not.
The street smarts, you left, no, left that left, last
I never night. I never had the street smarts.
No, we can tell. Two Zooms. Okay. Two Zooms.
The fact that the thing that upsets me most is the fact that I went back.
Yeah.
I was like, sorry, if we could just rearrange. I was like, oh, God. How many people like email the hacker and go, I'd love to have another meeting with you?
Isn't there a fella who's like on YouTube and he hacks the hacker? You know, when like these people ring, he keeps them on the call with them. And they're like, oh, I just need this to access this and that. And whatever, he reverses that.
So oh, wow.
He turns on their webcam and he's screenshotting it. And he's like, oh, I can see you're in a blue T-shirt. And like, you can see a man panicking and all that.
Oh, wow.
Because there's these farms, like there's like data farms all over fucking India and the Middle East where they just hack people's Instagram and social media.
I know, yeah. And you know, it's a job. A job is a job.
Yeah.
I mean, like one of my favorite things I've ever seen, though, was a clamper van that was clamped.
Yeah,
that was just like I saw that in like just, you know, the road between Ringsend and Sandymount one day, and I was like, this is amazing.
This is, yeah, we need more of that. Would you reckon that was a vigilante?
Yeah, I hope so. Yeah. I'd say, I did think afterwards it was probably like somebody's birthday and then one of the other clampers had to go, but I like to think it was like some little L one with a clamp and a supermarket trolley.
Yeah,
just
waiting for
yeah, yeah, exactly.
I got an email one day actually from a hacker. Well, I imagine it was a hacker, and it's like, oh, we have access to your phone. Don't believe us, check the email sender. It's from your email address. So it's like, to my email from my email address. And I was like, oh yeah, that is a bit weird. And then, but like, this is where it gets weirder. And it takes a bit of a dark turn here. It was like, oh, we've had access to your phone while you are watching porn. And we will leak this to your contact list. We have access to your email so we can do this. And I just looked at it and I was like, fuck it. It is what it is.
Look, you're in shape. No problem.
So he was just like, do you know what? Prove it. So
yeah,
I have no problem
with a video of that being released. A video of me like doing stand up like around 2010 when I was shit, that would upset me. Like, yeah, having a wank. No, I'm grand. Look, who doesn't? But bad stand up? No. No. Yeah.
But I was just like, fuck it. Do you know what I mean? What are you going to do? So that's anytime I see any show like that, I trust my email folders. And that comes into junk. Usually is junk. And I just X out of it.
I actually am a bit concerned now because we've just said about how gullible I am. Mm. And now I feel like I feel I've got about 2 days left with a social media presence after this comes out.
Yeah, but you think about it. You said last year, right? So if it was 15 years ago and someone emails you to do an interview with Annie Mac, you'd be like, but like, that's not out of the realm of possibility. Like last year, you and Annie Mac doing a Zoom call together. That's like, I wouldn't be like, what? I never saw that coming. I'd be like, yeah, it's another Tuesday for Growth Valley.
Yeah, I suppose so. I mean, I did an email her and said I got hacked because somebody, you know, somebody said they wanted to interview, blah, blah, blah. And she just liked it. So I do think it still is out of the realm of possibility. Like,
so she blanked you after all that?
Yeah, more or less. Yeah, yeah. I mean, she did put up a little post going, oh, this, you know, this keeps happening, blah, blah, blah. And yeah. I was like, okay.
Yeah, so you're not that special. Like,
yeah, we didn't feel special at all.
Yeah, it happened to everyone. Yeah. I seen another thing, not to be this morbid person, but coming in, I was listening to something and he said, this week, 6 years ago, was COVID. Where did the time go, lads? Where did it go?
Oh, God.
What were you doing 6 years ago? You were probably still in school.
I for COVID, I was supposed to be in China. Because I was supposed to be doing gigs for expats.
So you were heading to ground zero.
I was literally heading to ground zero, and we got the visas and everything, and they were like, oh, this is all kicking off. We may have to postpone or move this. And I was just like, no, it's all grand. It's just a flu. Like, I was ready to go to like Wuhan.
Yeah,
just be like,
yeah.
It's grand. Don't be worrying. Like, all's fine. The show will go on. But yeah, because at the time I was on a tour with Neil Delamere, and I remember the last gig that we did was in County Down. And we were driving back on the Friday night, and we didn't have another gig till the following Friday night. And he was saying, oh God, you know, this is looking very serious. This could be a problem. And I was laughing at him in the car. I was like, do you honestly think that they're going to shut down gigs? Like, yeah. I think he had like the Ulster Hall or something following. I was like, do you honestly think that the Ulster Hall is going to close because there's a cold going around? Is that what you think? I was slagging the arse off him, and that was the last gig we ever did. That was literally, that was the end of it then for about a year and a half. Yeah, it was insane.
I remember being in work, and like, obviously this was all coming out and blah, blah, blah. And I remember in work, they were like, oh, look, if you want to work from home for 2 weeks from now, feel free. And I remember, like, I don't even think I'd finish reading the email. I was already in my gaff. I was gone out of the office. I was
brilliant.
Like, get me out of here.
Yeah.
2 weeks in the gaff, walking from home. Get that in there.
Why wouldn't you work from home?
But then after 6 months, I was like, I'd risk going into the office. No problem. I'd risk.
Really?
Yeah. After walking from home, oh my God. Because I was still living at home at the time. And your ma doesn't realise that.
Oh, yeah.
When
yeah.
I'm like, I'm walking. Like, she's coming in and she's hoovering and all. I was like, man, I'm walking. And she was like, ah, will you fuck off this time? I was like, man, you're out, like, you know what I mean? Not realising. And like, going to bed at a reasonable time because you're up again for work. Because a lot of people are kind of, the shifts are all moved around. So our house was affected by that. So like, okay. Some people didn't have to work early in the morning anymore, but I still did. Nothing changed with my roster. Like, okay. I was still on the same times. And like, I'm like, I'm trying to go to bed early and there's bleeding a hoolie downstairs. Like, you know what I mean?
My other half, he got these noise cancelling headphones for that. So he could like work from home all the time. And I'll never forget it. There was one day, I should have known, right? Because he did these like Zooms all day. There was just all day, every day. And he always wore these noise cancelling headphones. But there was one morning I didn't realise he was in a shirt and tie. That he was doing a presentation. Now, I used to be able to like, could be behind him. Like, I could have the telly on or whatever. He wouldn't hear anything because of these headphones. But there was one morning I was sitting behind him in me jocks. I was eating an Activia and I was sharing it with the cat. So like, I was having yogurt. I was giving the cat yogurt. Like, same spoon, like proper... mental case stuff.
It was,
we all went mad. I was like, basically I was sharing a yogurt with the cat. I didn't realise he was actually doing a presentation for like, I don't know,
something serious.
Big. It was like proper big deal. Like, he was in a shirt and tie from the waist up. I didn't even notice this, and it was only afterwards, because the presentation went on the intranet in his job, it was only afterwards that somebody was like,
what's going on in the background?
Oh yeah, I was in trouble for that now.
Oh yeah, I spent the first lockdown in my mother-in-law's down in Wexford, and we always say like, if we could survive that, we'd survive anything, because like, yeah, our tensions were high.
Do you get on well with your mother-in-law?
Yeah, like a house on fire. She might be after Easter by the time she listens to it, but she will listen to it.
That's the warning. Oh yeah, no, we get on very well.
She does, but I remember going down, and then the first chance I got, I came back to Dublin, and then when everything started blowing over, then I was like, right, I have to get down, collect my missus and bring her back up. And I was driving down and everyone's like, what about the checkpoints? And I was like, I actually don't care. I was like, I'm doing it.
Yeah.
I drove all the way down to Wexford. She lives in Rosslare Harbour. So it's like a 2 hour drive. I was literally 10 minutes away from my gaff and I hit a checkpoint. And I was like, I'm fucking right here. Copper says, what are you doing? I was like, I'm literally collecting my girlfriend and going back to Dublin. And he laughed. And he goes, can I have a look at your licence? And he looked and he goes, oh, you are from Dublin. And I was like, I'm literally after telling you.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm not lying to you. Like, I didn't make this up. I'm collecting more and I'm going back. And he shit himself. And he was like, promise me now you're going to go straight back. And I was like, yeah. I was like, we spent enough time down here. So we collected all and went back up. But
yeah, my parents did that. My parents went down, like, they have a little cottage in Wexford, and they went down and they were they were on the beach. And then somebody like from a local paper like took a photograph of them, like my dad in his Bose jersey, like it was.
Yeah, like these dubs coming down here.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, what a time.
But it was like, it was a good reset, like I felt. I mean, I know it was terrible and everything.
I don't think we'll ever recover.
It was very odd. Like, I, during COVID, I gave up comedy.
Yeah.
Like I retired totally. I did postgrad during COVID as well. Like, because I was like, I'll have to go back, because we were talking before, I was a programmer. So I was like, I'm going to have to go back and do that. So I did a postgrad. And then it really just took off after COVID. So I completely wasted COVID doing this fucking postgrad that nearly killed me.
Yeah, but you surely have a bit of material in that, no?
No. No. There was nothing funny about it at all. Yeah. Like, it was literally like...
What a waste of time.
The only thing was, I remember doing exams in my spare room.
Yeah.
Like, other people were just, you know, watching all the screen films in a day. And I was just like, oh God, it was terrible. I don't know what I was thinking.
Yeah, yeah. I don't think we'll proper recover. Like, I mean, the economy in bits, people's attitude towards each other in bits, and then I think films and music, it's just been shite ever since. Like, I thought 2022 and 2023 it peaked. Like, as you said, like, you made the big comeback because the appetite was there. I was like, oh my god, yes. And 22, 23, and everyone's like, yes, we're fucking back. And then people are like, oh, I'll get away with just doing that now. And it's like, right, it's resetting now, as in, like, 24, 25, everything's just being shit. So I'm like, right, will you all start, like, getting the finger out here and start making good films and series again and start writing good music plays?
Because apparently now, to get a series made, you have to be able to watch it on your phone. That's why all the plots are so stupid. Yeah. Like, I'm watching The Night Agent at the moment. Have you seen The Night Agent?
No.
So shit. The only thing is that, like, the guy, the lad that plays the agent, like, the agent, he's like, hot. Like, you'd watch it just to look at him. Like, it's good.
It's easy to look at,
the fucking plot. Jeez, it's just so boring. I'm at the point now, I'm in the middle of season 3, and I'm, come on, shoot him. Like, I can't watch another episode of this. Just, like, I want him dead.
Didn't Matt Damon and Ben Affleck, they made that new film for Netflix. I don't know what it's called, but they were told, you have to make this as easy to watch as possible because people are watching it on the phone. So, like, if you watch it, it's like, yes, we're going to run in here and we're going to take out these two bad guys who have the four hostages and take the money off them. And then they go and do it, and you're like, what the fuck is
it? It makes Murder, She Wrote look like a complex plot. Like, do you know what I mean? Like, what's going on? Thank God there's a bit of a turn here.
Yeah. But, like, didn't see that coming.
Yeah, it's a bit, it's really a shit. Like, because I haven't watched anything good in ages. Like, everything I'm watching is like a throwback.
Can't remember the last time I even watched a good film. I can't remember the last time I seen a good film in the pictures. I can't remember the last time I sat down and watched a good film. I was like,
have you seen Hamlet?
No.
Dog shit.
Really?
Sorry, now.
He said it.
I think it's shite.
I'm delighted he said that, because it's just Oscar B. See, and that gets a bit of accolade in the Oscar. Everyone's like, oh my God, best film ever. And you're like,
she's incredible in it.
Right.
Right. She's absolutely brilliant in it. But the film itself is just, it's absolute misery porn.
Yeah.
Like, it's like, it's just everybody's either whinging or dying. Like, it's like literally whinging, baby dies, baby comes back to life, more whinging.
Baby comes back to life?
Yeah, like...
Spoiler alert.
I was just what? No, it comes back, like, about 2 minutes. I actually went to see it in Newcastle, right? I was doing a show in Newcastle, and I went over in the morning, a Sunday morning, I had a cold. And my hotel wasn't ready to check in. I was like, what'll I do? I'll go see Hamlet. Because it was the only thing that was on. And I went in, but I went to a real... You know, like when you go to a fancy cinema? You know,
Stella,
like,
kind of,
yeah, that's the vibe, yeah. And you can do like an order where they'll bring,
yeah,
like they'll bring it to your chair. So I did an order for a fudge sundae, right? I was going, like, I'm not feeling well. I'll just do a show. I'm going to have a nice fudge sundae watching this film. So I got 45 minutes in. The film, I was just like, this, I can't sit through this now. This is too depressing. But the only reason I stayed was because my fudge sundae hadn't come. And I was going, I could leave because I'm getting really miserable. But then it wouldn't get me fudge sundae. Yeah. Like, how more depressed would I be then? So I had to balance it. And I waited, and then I had the fudge sundae. And then
did you feel better?
Yeah, I did.
Yeah.
Yeah, I felt. But, like, it's just misery for misery's sake.
Yeah, no.
Do you know what I mean?
I'm not going to watch it. I'm not going
to
watch it. I want to watch that new I Swear film about your man, Johnny Davidson, who has the Tourette's.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that looks good, actually.
So, when we were growing up, we used to always watch, because he's actually very famous in Scotland, because he's, like, obviously the most famous case of Tourette's. He's an advocate, he's a campaigner to raise awareness for it. But the BBC done a documentary, I nearly sure it was the BBC, done a documentary on him when he was about 15.
Oh, no way.
And then they done another one on him, like, 30 years later or something. But it's so that comparing the two sets of footage. But we used to watch the newest one, which was 30 years later. It's called Tourette's, I Swear I Can't Help It. That was the documentary. And I mean, now we were 15 or something watching it. We used to be in tears watching it.
I know.
And, like, you'd quote it. And, like, me and my mates would all rip the piss out of it. You know, like that. It was iconic to us. So when this came out, I was like, because a friend of mine was like, I watched this thing about a fellow with Tourette's, blah, 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 in Scotland. And I was like, is this Johnny Davidson? And he was like, yeah, have you watched it as well? I was like, no, but, like, that's your man. That's your man who done the documentary. And I was like, I was describing stuff to him. And he's that's him. That's him. So he's so big. And then obviously then what happens at the BAFTAs?
Yeah.
And I was like, Lads, if you know what Tourette's is.
Yeah, of course. But also, like, the stupid thing about that was, why did they broadcast it?
Yeah, true, actually, yeah.
Like, I mean, it went out, like, it happened 2 hours beforehand. Did nobody think, like, we'll just delete that bit?
Yeah.
Because it'll be, like, yeah. there'll be shit. Like, I just don't understand that.
Explain.
Do you know what I mean?
In case anyone hasn't seen it.
So, as I said, Johnny Davidson has Tourette's. That means he gets these urges that he can't control. They're called tics, where either he says something or he can't control his body movement. So that might be like his arms will be flailing out, or he might kick or jump or whatever, twitching and stuff like that. And he could say absolutely anything. So as I said, he's a big campaigner for Tourette's all up and down the UK. He actually got an MBE and he made a film about him. It's called I Swear. So that was up for a BAFTA. So he was at the awards. But Michael B. Jordan, and I'm not too sure who the other actor was, another black gentleman, was presenting the award. And your man Johnny Davidson shouted the M-word. But the lads played it off cool. Did you see?
Yeah.
The lads played it off cool, presented the award, and they moved on. But there's outrage. But like, it's at the causing this spark and debate on the internet now, saying, oh, he meant that, he's using this as a cover for being racist. And then, like, it's united the whole lot of Scotland, the Celtic and Rangers fans sitting down with each other to defend them. Like, that's how you know this shit is real. Like, but if anything,
even I know that, and I know nothing about football.
Yeah. But if anything, it's like, it's showing the power of Tourette's, that like, he literally cannot. And like, I've seen clips of the film, I don't know how true they are, but there's a clip in the film where his friend comes home from Australia and he's like, how come you're home? And he's like, oh, my ma's dying, she has cancer. And they go to the friend's house and his ma opens the door and she's like, oh, how are you, Johnny, haven't seen you in a while. He goes, yeah, I'm all good. Oh, you're dying of cancer. And I'm like, I wonder how far removed that is from the truth, you know what I mean?
God.
Yeah, so.
That must be awful, because you know what it's, you do know what it's like when you have the like urges for anything. Do you know
laughing
what I mean?
At
like,
a funeral.
Yeah.
Laughing at a funeral is the closest that you're going to get to Tourette's. You know, you're just like, I can't, you have to do it.
My dad's an undertaker and he always says, you're all right to laugh at a funeral as long as you're not the last one laughing. So like, if the family make a joke, he's like, I can laugh at that. Like, that's fine. But I can't be the last one still laughing.
Your dad's an undertaker.
Mm.
Oh, like this is.
Oh.
Well, isn't that good? Like,
as long as you're not the last one laughing.
Yeah, so like, don't be the like still bursting your whole laughing when like the
depends
family
on how funny it is.
The worst thing I've ever done was a funeral was go to the wrong one.
What? No, you didn't.
I did.
Not what?
I did. One
I feel
friends
like you need an SNA.
Do you know what? I should be offended, but I absolutely take your point.
I met you half an hour ago and you told me that you got hacked. And just to be sure, you scheduled another Zoom call to be hacked again.
Yeah.
How would you go to the wrong funeral?
So what happened was, right, a friend of mine, or her dad died, and then I went to the funeral and the church, but I wasn't sure what graveyard it was in, right? Because there was two.
That's right.
There's Glasnevin.
And this is the old part.
The other one, yeah.
Yes.
And I was just following the hearse, but then it turns out I was following the wrong hearse. And then I was like, I couldn't get parking. And then I was like, oh, that's it. And I kind of muscled my way up to be beside her.
And but,
so I got to the, and then I was like, that's not her. That's not her. But then, like, you can't be at a grave when they're doing the prayers and then decide, I've changed your mind. You can't, like, just turn and walk back through the crowd. Like, so I had to just do all the prayers. And, like, then at the end, you know, when everyone's shaking hands, like, I was very close to the family, but, like, everyone was like.
So people come hugging you and all, sorry for
the
loss?
No, they were just, nobody knew who I was. Like, they were just like, oh, yeah. And I was like, oh, yeah, sorry. And then I was absolutely fucking mortified. And then when I got to the other funeral, it was over.
You were throwing stuff in on the grave and all.
Yeah, exactly.
Mementos and everything in.
I'll have a rose. Yeah. Oh, God. Yeah, that was very humiliating.
Siobhan, have you any embarrassing stories from funerals?
Did you ever intern? Like, did you ever have it? Like, did you ever?
We dug a grave for them during the summer. Siobhan brought me interns down to Galway and we dug a grave for her there.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah. It was actually a good crack.
Yeah.
I actually enjoyed it.
You
dug a grave, yeah.
6 foot down, like?
Yeah.
You didn't dig it, like, it was 5.5 foot and they
there's video
off,
footage.
Like,
there's video yeah footage.
So did you, did you dig it with shovels?
Yeah, and a pickaxe.
But do they not use a JCB? A little, no.
They do in Glasnevin, not down the country. Oh, which you'd think it'd be the opposite, wouldn't it?
If I saw somebody now digging a grave with a pickaxe in a graveyard, I'd be like, murderer. No question. Like, no question.
But do you know what made it worse? We're in it and we're like going hell for leather, like, proper like getting stuck into this and we weren't budging. Like, I think in about half an hour we'd moved like an inch and I was like, fucking hell, it has to be a knack to this. Two lads jumped in. The two lads combined age is about 150. they jumped in and they were plowing through the thing. And I was like,
really?
Oh. Yeah, so there's a technique to doing it. And I was like, we were just going in like brute force, trying, like, we're young, we're in the gym, we'll get through this. And I was like, yeah, you can see why these lads are able to do it. And just
do you know whose grave it is?
Yeah, well, not personally, but like they told us who it was.
All right, so, and like, is there photographs of you beside the stone just being like,
do you know what it's supposed to be? It's a common thing. Like, if you're mad or down the country, you would dig the grave. It's like
or like a neighbor. Like, everybody dig. Like, you don't really hire grave diggers that much.
It's like it was like
an honor.
An honor, yeah, to like dig your own parents' grave for them. Yeah.
Oh, really?
No, obviously after they died, but like.
Yeah,
they'd come out and they
don't bring them out and put them in a deck chair.
Yeah, this is deep enough for you.
No, I wouldn't do that now. Yeah. No, that's kind of like doing my parents' wallpapering. I think it'd be better. We'd just agree.
Got a professional in, like,
get a professional.
Yeah,
for a
situation. But I don't know. I think it's something down the country is a very traditional down there. But then again, like, I do think on the other side, there's traditions that we have up here, and it's like. Because I was saying my missus is a culture, I sent her a funny reel on Instagram, and it's like, this fella, he's from like Essex, and his missus is French. Okay. And like, she's like proper French, has the accent and all, and he's like, do you know who SpongeBob SquarePants is? And like, she's saying what it is in French. I was like, I feel like this with Amy, and she's only from Wexford. You know what I mean? Like, we done stuff growing up, and I was like, you never done that? And then like, she'd say something and I'd be like, what are you talking about?
Where's she from?
Rosslare Harbour.
All right, that's not, I wouldn't even consider that culty.
Oh, like proper culty. No, they're culty.
Really?
Oh, girl, trust me. If you can't see anything out your back garden, you're a culty. Do you know when it's just pitch black? Pitch black. When your house has a name and not a number, you're a culty.
Okay, right. Just a little more.
I'd like to bring you to a Dublin funeral, Siobhan. Just so you can see the cultural class.
Like, everyone gets drunk. There's usually a fight.
Yeah. There might be a saxophone player, depending on what part of Dublin you're in.
Karaoke, maybe.
Yeah, sounds like a good crack.
Like, my auntie's funeral was in the old part of... The other part of... I don't know if it's actually the old part of Glass M. The one that's closest to the canal.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And, like, they had an amp and everything with them to do the songs.
It's the wakes that I don't get. I just think that's a bit weird.
Do you know what?
Wake.
I've never got my head around it. That you're just sitting there with the body.
Yeah. People have a great time at wakes. They're like, you know, you go home and you're like, I got to see everyone from school, you know, except Mark. Where was Mark? Oh, yeah.
Mark was here. He wasn't saying much, though.
Mark was very quiet.
Yeah.
But the thing I don't like is that what we do in Dublin, which is the removal, because I hate that. That's, you know, you go to a removal and then you've got to get in the queue and then you've got to go up and do the shake hands.
Oh, yeah.
Like, that is just... What happens to me is I always get trapped behind a hugger. Because, like, have you ever been in that situation where, like, you've got to shake hands and then you move on and then all of a sudden the person that is ahead of you with the next family member is just hugging the person. They're like,
you have to hug now.
No, but so you're standing with the one that you've just shaken hands with. You're like,
yeah,
how's it going? Yeah, yeah. And you've got to find something to say. And I always get like, I always clam up a little bit. And there was one, I remember I went to a funeral and I said to my uncle, any news? Because I shook his hand and I didn't know what to say. And then there was this woman, she was just hugging the next person. And I ended up just going, any news? Or?
Yeah. Well, Margaret said, I'm like, yeah, well, I hope so. She's had to be in the kitchen moving for the last 2 days. But you know, the worst part about it is, right? So obviously wakes are horrible. And then you'd sit around for the whole day, but you'd nearly forget you were at a wake and you'd have great crack. And then, like, it's the next day and you're like, yeah, yeah. And then you're like, oh, bollocks, did you go to the funeral now and bury this person? And it just brings the mood back down again. You know? No, because you
funerals, they're great except for the sad bit.
Yeah.
Like,
the funerals. You have great crack at a funeral. You do. Honestly, Siobhan, we're going to bring you to a funeral in Dublin.
Who's?
There's always one.
It was easy for me to arrange to have ye at something because, like, that had no personal relationship to me. But, like, I'm going to go to, like, your auntie's funeral.
Don't be wishing death upon me.
My God, you just killed off your aunt.
That was 6 years ago. But, folks, like, we're still getting over it. Thanks for bringing that back up.
I'm not putting the bad eye on her, but, like.
Next time there's a funeral, I'll give you a show.
sure, yeah, I'll go.
I do think it's a very strange tradition. I do think that people are going to look back, you know, like in a 1,000 years time, they're going to look back at the way we handle death and they're just going to be like, those people were absolutely insane.
It's better than the Brits though. Obviously, like someone,
well, they do weeks and weeks. Don't they?
Like someone would die on the 4th of March and it'd be Easter and they're getting buried.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Especially when it's someone famous. When someone famous dies, like they die on like Valentine's Day and you're like, oh, that's sad, and it's in the news for a week. Then it's Paddy's Day and it's like, and now it's the funeral of that person. Like, they died ages ago.
Why is that? Is that, like, you must know this now. You're the undertaker.
I think some of it is to do with like paperwork and like getting them into the grave. Like, it's something to do with that.
Oh, wow.
I think it's just like, see, what's
educational
that
podcast we are now?
Very, yeah, it's very informational.
You're going to go
yeah,
home now. You're going
to. I don't know if that's true.
Yeah,
that's
I'm ready for everybody to die.
Yeah. That's what I've heard anyway. That it's just like paperwork takes so long over there.
What I love about Ireland is like someone would die on a Monday, and you, like people are like, right, so like this on Tuesday, Wednesday, this, that, blah, blah, yeah, so funeral Friday, and then like that's how it unfolds. I'm like, how did you know that was going to happen that way? Like you nearly know exactly when it's going to be. But like that's the thing as well, like. If it's during the summer, like there's a body there, like you have to keep that cool. You know what I mean? All the windows and all are open. Like this is not right.
Do you remember that thing that happened with the Zoom funeral? I think that's one of the greatest things I've ever seen. I'd be falling asleep in bed and I will actually wake fully awake and think of that poor woman. Do you remember the woman that she was watching the funeral on Zoom and she had a shower?
No.
Do you not remember this? Oh my God, it was the greatest thing that's ever happened. So basically, there was this funeral happening. Do you not know this?
No.
Oh my God, it's fine online, right? Basically, there was this woman, she was zooming into a funeral. They were having a funeral in the church and they had the Zoom window up, right? Now, this woman clearly thought that she had her camera turned off, right? Because she zoomed into the funeral and then she took her clothes off and got into the shower.
She had the laptop in the bathroom.
In the bathroom, yeah. So she was obviously like watching the mass, but didn't realize she was also on a big screen at the mass with all the people that were zooming in. And she got her razor.
No way. So she had an everything shower.
Trimmed herself. But to make it much worse, because this was going on at the church, obviously the priest was saying mass, this was on a screen above him. And then she went to the afters of the funeral. So she didn't know. She showed up at the funeral.
I like
what
that she
done.
Had the everything shower before going to the afters.
Yeah.
She clearly was, like, there was clearly somebody she fancied at the, because she was sorting everything.
But why was she not at the funeral if she was going to the afters?
Yeah, excellent question. I'd say she was just getting everything.
And
you know,
why bother putting the Zoom on if you're going to hop in the shower? Like, just don't bother.
I presume she wants to, like, hear the.
A friend of mine was on a war call
and be able to talk about
a couple
it.
Of weeks ago, and they were telling me that like this was a big war call now. There was like 60 something people on it. And so you know when you're on a call that big, you're on mute, camera's off, and you're just listening. But someone was unmuted and like the head of the company was speaking, blah 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 blah, and he literally had just stopped and then you heard someone's toilet flush.
We used to have that like on Zoom gigs, like when you do like stand-up gigs during COVID, and we do Zoom gigs and then someone would just start hoovering and you're like, for fuck's sake.
That must have been like grim, but easy money as well.
Yeah, it was great. Like it was just really good. Like, cause
is that what made you stop? Is that what made you retire? Like,
no,
this.
Because I stopped, and then like about 18 months into COVID, Joanne McNally said to me, she's like, I'm going to go on tour after this. It's going to be a big tour. Do you want to do support? And I was like, not hope. Like, no way. I'm done. I'm out. And then she said, come on, like, just think about it. Just do a few, just to, if you're going to give it up, then just do a few of these and end. And, you know,
yeah.
She was going to do Palladium and stuff. And I was like, all right, yeah, I will. So I started to do Zoom gigs with her. And I remember the first one, like, where you're off stage, like stage, where you just close the laptop and you're like this adrenaline that you hadn't had in like a year and a half. And all of a sudden you're just like loading the dishwasher, shaking. And you're like, wow.
So I made you get the
boys. Yeah, again. I mean, I went back and I loved it then.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like, because before I used to be nervous and stuff, but then I went back. Now I don't care.
Yeah. Like, yeah. You love it now.
Oh my God, yeah.
Yeah, that isn't, that's the thing is like what happens to you when you're nervous and when you're excited is exactly the same.
Yeah,
how
yeah.
How your brain is interpreting it. Like the symptoms are like for like.
Yeah, 100%. One's just really negative. Like I used to get a bit of stage fright, but now I like wouldn't even think of that.
Yeah, that's class.
Yeah, it's the best.
It's mad to think into that, like you had it, like you probably wouldn't be a comedian now. Imagine that.
No, like I had got a job as a postman.
Did you?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That was when Joanne stepped in and she was like,
This is intervention.
I think you're making a massive mistake. Yeah. 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 She did a couple of like Zooms where we had like got absolutely pissed drinking gin and tonic. And she's like, I think you're making a mistake. And then I just didn't. I didn't go for the medical and I didn't take
it. It was a very good impression. You were going to be a postman.
Yeah. Well, I just think that that's a really happy job.
So do I. And you know what? We were only saying this. So we, obviously I'm getting my house renovated now. So I had to move my car.
Oh yeah.
And where I've parked it, I always see another car there every day. Right. But early in the mornings, it's not there. So I was like, I'll just throw my car there, wherever. And then one day, I was getting out of the car and I was seeing the on post bag in the back of the car. So I was like, oh, I didn't know the postman lives around here. And then my missus told me, she was like, no, that's the postman. Loads up the car, parks there, unloads the car then with all the stuff. I was like, that's the best job in the world.
Yeah, it is.
Because we used to have a different postman and he'd be floating around all year round in a pair of shorts and he was always smiling. All earphones in. Hello. And you knew...
Great job.
You knew he loved his job because he'd be screaming hello at people from like six doors down. He'd see them.
Yeah, yeah.
Good morning. You know what I mean? I'm like, Jesus Christ, mate. It's 7 o'clock. You want to calm down.
I think that's a really happy job. I think if you want, like, all you're doing is you're just walking around, like, seeing everybody saying hello. You're literally Postman Pat.
Yeah.
That's literally, everyone's delighted to see you because everyone
even
loves
even if you're giving
post.
Them bad news. It's like, it's not, you're only doing your job. Yeah, you know what I mean?
Exactly.
You're only doing your job. No one cares. And like, no one ever has a bad thing to say about the postman.
No, they're brilliant.
And
everyone loves their postman.
They're finished by 11.
Also, what I would love is, I think it's fascinating that they can get into apartments.
What?
Well, you know the way the postman can just like, they must be able to get into it. How do they get into apartments? They must have fobs.
You know what? I used to live in an apartment and I never actually thought about that. I just thought someone, like, you know, is coming and going and they let like, him in. Or you might just buzz a random number and then he'd be like, right, number 17 is going to open the door for me. And he just, they did that.
I think it must be easier.
Surely they can't. That's a lot of apartments though.
But how can they guarantee they're going to be able to unload it? And they must have loads of stuff for an apartment.
Girl, do you used to be a postman?
Well, see, I it would have been worth doing a couple of days just to learn this.
Oh, you didn't even do it?
No, I didn't even go to the medical. I just emailed them and said, no, I'm sorry, I've changed my mind. But like, if there's a postman out there, please, like,
oh, we've had
contact us.
We've had postman questions before, haven't we?
I feel like we had a postman question lately.
Really?
Yeah, so my thing was, we were talking about having names for houses and numbers.
Okay.
And it's like, if you were new to where my missus is from down the country.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like, where Siobhan is from, the whole postman knows, oh, the Walshes live down there. But what if you're new? You don't know where the Walshes live.
Yeah.
And it's like a very kind of ambiguous address.
They don't deserve post. Like, I'm sorry, if you don't make your house identifiable, you don't deserve post.
No, if you don't make the address identifiable.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And then she was just like, oh, well, like, you get to know the postman. I'm like, yeah, but what if it's your first day? Or like, you were sick and someone had to step in for you. Like,
Exactly. I fully agree. I think use your air code.
Yeah.
I think a postman commented, actually, how we learn duties is by a book which has a name. And then if it's on the left or right, sometimes a description of the house. Usually you get 1 week training, learning the duty en route.
Yeah.
Apparently.
You get a week's training. Like, that must be your shadow in a postman.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That must be the best.
Yeah.
Or maybe it's probably annoying because you can't listen to your podcasts. You've got like some...
Yeah, but it's only a week. Like, surely if you start a new job, you're not listening to anything. If you start a new job anywhere, you're settling in, you're the model employee.
No, but what about the poor postman that has to show them around?
Oh, he can't listen to
his podcast. Sorry, you have a donkey with you this week.
Yeah, well, look, that's the trade, isn't it? But does an on-post collect a TV licence fee as well?
That's only in the post office, though.
No, that's why they come around dressed as on post, and when you're knocking a lot of people hands and be like, yeah, TV license inspector, gotcha.
Really?
Yeah. You're like, bollocks.
They actually wear the gear.
Look it up. We don't make the rules.
They're undercover. The TV license inspector
because,
is undercover.
Technically not, because they're working for on post. So they're wearing on post uniform.
Okay.
It's just that they've deceived us, that you think that's the postman coming up all jolly and all, and you're like, there he is.
Wow.
Must be new. Comes to knock on the door, you open it, can I help you? Yeah, where's your TV license?
That's
and you're like, don't have a telly.
Of course, don't have a telly, don't have a screen, no, nothing. Yeah.
Just don't answer
the door. Very holistic, just essential oils in this house.
I said it before and I'll say it again. Never answer your door if you're not expecting somebody.
No good comes of that. That's the joy of an apartment.
Yeah.
Because like you've the little screen and you're just like,
Who is that?
Like, what also was good is Halloween. Like, I've lived in an apartment 18 years. I've never had somebody knock on the door for Halloween.
Really?
Yeah, ever.
No, wait. When we used to live in the apartment, we got a couple, but it was only from people that we knew and they knew where I lived. But like,
well, I said this to somebody, right? Because I felt in COVID, right? I was like, this is our time to shine now because kids can't go out. They can't be knocking on the doors. But what we could do, because we all have balconies, is we could like lure seeds down to them in baskets. And I thought, this is a really good thing. Like, this is a, and I said it on like a podcast and stuff, and then somebody that lives in an apartment went, fuck off, Geralt. It's like, no, that's the joy of living in an apartment, is we don't have those kids knocking on our doors. We're not getting involved. This is nothing to do with us. We don't have houses. We're not getting involved. I was like, okay, fine.
You don't have the same community. Take that point. You don't have the same community when you live in apartments, don't you know?
No. Well, no, not really. I don't think so.
I don't miss it. Since we moved into the house, it's class. You know, all the kids knocking around because they're just bundles of sweets in the gaff, and you know, like, I can dip these. You know what I mean? There's not going to be that many kids knocking. I can definitely get away with taking a few days, like, on the slug. No.
I know, that would drive me insane, kids knocking on the door.
Really?
Yeah. I'm dressed up as I'm just like, I couldn't care.
Yeah. No, I hate to have to be like, oh, yeah, and you're SpongeBob, and yeah, you're Elsa, and who are you? And they're like, or I'm wherever. I was like, yeah.
Yeah, that used to happen, like, because I used to live near Papentry Park, and, like, they used to be, like, you know, like a 16-year-old in a tracksuit would just open the door, stand there, and you're just glaring at you going, help Halloween party, and you're like, no.
Yeah.
No, yeah. I'm not doing this. Yeah. Or, like, sometimes what would happen is, like, when you'd open the door and just you unflip in a tracksuit would start singing a Christmas song, and you're like, just give him a fiver, or he's going to, like, put a brick through your car. There's nothing more threatening than a little youngfella singing, like, you know, Jingle Bells, glaring at you, making full eye contact.
It's like what we used to do when, because we grew up around Crow Park, we used to park, like, mind people's cars for them. It's called car parking.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's not, yeah, it wasn't minding the car. That was protection money. That's what that was.
You pay the fee and the car would be minded.
Yeah. If you didn't pay the fee, your car most certainly would have a problem.
Look,
I'm pretty certain it won't have a windscreen.
I didn't choose to grow up in an area riddled in socioeconomic problems. We all know that.
Yeah, so it was socioeconomic. That's what
so if you choose, you know these areas are bad areas and you're choosing to park there, that's on your discretion. So why wouldn't you pay someone? Do you know what I mean? To mind their car.
Of course. Absolutely.
And there you go. And that's them's the brakes, do you know what I mean? And we made a few quid, their car was left untouched when they were driving back down to Kilkenny or wherever. Everyone was happy.
Yeah, we're learning a harsh lesson.
I'm just saying, Grod. Some people call it extortion, some people call it entrepreneur intuition. And that's what it was.
Yeah, they knew what they had to do. Yeah.
You have big gigs coming up.
Yeah, I'm on tour.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I'm going, at the moment I'm supporting Joanne McNally, but I'm doing my UK tour. I'm nearly finished. That seemed like a great idea at the time.
Wait, supporting Joanne or going on tour?
No, going on tour at the same time. So, like, when I'm not, like, the days off from Joanne's tour, I'm doing UK dates, but the UK's so big.
Yeah.
I'd underestimated that. So I'm going up and down and trying, like, it's, oh, it's a shit
show. Darryl Brain was saying it to us because it's like, their infrastructure is built for that. Like, you could do a 500-seater in this smallest town you've ever heard of.
Yeah.
Never heard of even, in the back arse of nowhere.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Over here, it's like, you know, there's probably about 15 venues in the country over here.
Yeah, yeah.
They have like 15 venues in a county. You know?
Yeah, they're everywhere. Like, you can just, and you go to these places you've never even heard of, like Telford, and, you know, you're like,
yeah.
What?
Yeah.
But, yeah, so I'm going to finish that. Then I go on to Australia for a month, Melbourne, Sydney. And then I do Edinburgh, and then I'm doing a big Irish tour.
Right.
So I'm doing the Olympia and stuff.
What's the name of the Irish tour?
It's called No Pressure. Yeah.
Where did the name come from?
The name came from because I was doing a work in progress last year, and I ran this show at the Edinburgh Fringe last year because I was like, just wanted to get it, you know, right. And they were like, what's the name? I was like, no, I don't know what the name is because I haven't written it yet. Like, I'm come to, and I was like, I'm just not putting myself under any pressure. I was like, oh, no pressure, that'll do. Yeah. So it's just called No Pressure.
I love it. I love hearing comedians when they're doing their specials and how they come up with the name of conventions, because some of them are very creative and then some of them just like, fuck that.
I'm just like, that's the way I am, because the problem is that you've got to choose the name so long before,
because
like, you've got to, they've got to have it on sale, and you've got to, like, even for Edinburgh, you choose the name in January, and then the amount of times I've done the Edinburgh Fringe where the first day you're walking down to the venue, you open the brochure, you go, what did they say this show was about? And then you read it, and you're like, it's not about any of that.
That's completely changed. And then as well, like, depending on how long the tour goes on, but it could be 18 months. And you're like, so it's like 2 years ago we picked this name.
Yeah, and then I get halfway through it, and then I just, like, drop out bits and put other bits in.
Yeah.
Like, but, yeah, it's a good show. This one, there's a lot of stuff about doing Dancing with the Stars in it. There's bits about my cat dying. There's a bit, like, it's fun. It's a really fun show. It's actually my favourite show.
My cat died is my favourite show.
No, but it's actually, I think that when you do something that's a bit, like, you know, there's a bit, like, a touching in it, like, maybe a little bit. And then when you make that funny, I think comedy that's tinged with a little bit of heartfelt stuff is the best kind of comedy.
Yeah, because then you know they're not making it up completely.
Yeah, yeah, you know yeah. Like it's. I'm happy. I haven't written a show. Every time I write a show, I feel like it gets better. I mean, I'll never say if it is, but like when you write one that's not as good as the last one, then you're fucked, I think.
Yeah, yeah.
But yeah, I do. I like, this is my favourite show. I can't wait to do it again.
Brilliant. Have you any dates coming up in Ireland that you need to plug? Yeah.
Yeah, I'm doing Cork Opera House in September. I'm doing the Olympia February. Yeah, it's all around the country. There's about 40 dates.
Busy,
so
man.
Yeah, it's a big tour, yeah. Yeah. So I'll run all the way up to next March and then I'll do a UK tour after that.
And are you, when do you stop supporting Joanne and when do you like go full time your own tour then?
Oh yeah, well I do my own tours anyway. I've been doing them for the past few years, but and it was just to go back with Joanne. I was like, oh yeah, fuck it, I will.
Yeah.
Because so many people see you on that tour. So I finished with her next week. Yeah, the end of this week.
Handy.
Yeah, done.
Yeah, that's like it's mad to think, isn't it? Because like I know we were saying, oh, there was an appetite after COVID, but like I don't think for comedy wise the appetite never died down.
No.
I think the Irish comedy scene now probably its biggest it's ever been.
Well, I think that the reason it's the biggest it's ever been is because we're now no longer reliant on telly.
Yeah.
Because everybody used to be trying to get on the one or two TV shows to try and sell a tour. And then as soon as that was taken out of the equation, because you know they just stopped making comedy programs, everyone just found their own way to do it. And now there's loads of brilliant comics. Like, I think we've way better comics per capita than anywhere else. I really do. Like, we've got so many people that are selling massive numbers in the UK in this time, like, you know, in the past 5 years. Whereas even if you look at the people in the UK, they're not selling as much per capita here.
Yeah. No, it's just when, like, you said that, John, when someone makes a statement like that and you're trying to think of something to counter it, I actually couldn't.
Yeah. There's so many, like, so many Irish comedians are absolutely massive there.
Yeah.
And I, you know, like, look at someone like Emma Doran and stuff. Like, she's absolutely, and Joanne.
Yeah.
Like, everyone's doing really well. And Chris Kent is fucking flying.
Yeah, and Coyle's bleeding.
Oh my God. Yeah.
Like, honestly, Siobhan, remember when, like, we had her on the podcast. I feel like it's just never subsided with her.
Yeah, she's amazing. Like, I hung out with her in Barcelona there a while ago and she's
a head case.
Crack. She's just the best crack.
No, she, like, is a head case.
So much fun. Like, she's just absolutely, like, yeah.
Do you know what? I always, because Horn and Shane Todd done Shane's podcast there a couple of weeks ago and we had them at our last live show. And obviously that was our biggest live show and there were so many moving parts and we were very nervous and all this shit was going on. And Coyle was the first person to show up that night. So I was like, oh, like, we're all nervous, like, how are you? And she was like, remember she called us out. She was like, yous are all mad stiff, like, is no one going to have a laugh? And I remember thinking, that's what I needed to
hear. Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Totally.
Like, she was the biggest sigh. As in, we were all tense, holding our breath. And she was just I was like, do you know what? I needed that. And she fucking blew the roof off the place, didn't she?
So good. Yeah.
But that's what you need. Like, because you forget that it's not about, it's about them having a laugh. Like,
that's all it was.
Yeah.
It's all it was.
I think she's great. She's so much fun.
She
just rinsed, breath of fresh air.
Rinsed Shane Todd over. And then I remember there was a point where she slagged me and Terrence, but we didn't hear what she said. And the audience did. And you could see that in our face. I was like, what did she say? And Terrence didn't hear either. I was like, what? And then everyone found that funny. And I was like, she just got up on the stage and just slagged people. For a half an hour and it worked. It was perfect. Yeah. And I was like, that's just a buzzer doing what she does best. And that's material.
Kyla and Shane is a great combination.
Great combo.
Yeah.
Great combo.
Shane, I have to say, I really like Shane Todd. I think he's gas.
Shane Todd is a legend.
But also, Shane Todd is so, like, he's so funny, but he's also kind of real nerdy as well.
Yeah.
That's what I love about Shane. Like, I remember going down for breakfast in Kilkenny at the Cat Laughs about 2 years ago, and Shane Todd had his own milk.
Yeah, because he's
lactose intolerant.
Yeah, and he's
Crohn's.
He has Crohn's disease as well.
Oh my God.
Yeah, geez. Poor fella gets no love.
God love him. Jesus. But he had his own milk in a bag and I just thought that was the funniest thing. I slagged him. I was delighted with myself. And then of course he told me he was lactose intolerant and I felt really guilty about it. But come on. Come on. You're a grown man with a carton of milk in a bag.
Like, put up.
Come on.
Yeah, just go to the toilet. Fuck it, like, you know what I mean? Come here, I take the hour in the toilet over the slagging in front of a load of
people.
You just put up with it. Just be like, oh, I'm tired and going to bed for a while. Right, we've wrapped this one up then.
Yeah.
Grod, you're going to stick around and take a few listener questions
to me? Yes, of course.
Yes.
Yeah.
Right, where can we buy our tickets?
At grodferry.com or through the link on my Instagram bio.
Perfect. Yes. Take us out, Siobhan.
Subscribe to this podcast for free on the Go Loud app. What you waiting for? Put your back in it. Just a little more. Try your wits in it now. Fill your body up.
The Hip Knocker.